following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, as usual, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. All right. So, man, a lot going on and a really busy day. You know, it's going to sound a little odd. I actually don't look forward to the weekends. I don't look forward to time off. I have so much to do, and I enjoy my work so much that I always look forward to performing, to doing, to working. Isn't that strange? But that's what I do. Anyway, so praise God for that. And I'm simulcasting on Rumble, and we're doing it on Facebook, and I'm doing it right now just to do it in Clubhouse on the phone. And you can look for Matt Slick Live if you search for that. There are people who'll come in, but they won't be able to talk because it's just a feed from the radio show. So we do that, you know, Monday through Friday at this time for an hour. All right. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And if you want, you can email me also. If you don't want to get on the air, you don't want to call, you don't want to be on radio, you can email me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. And my email program just crashed, so I got to, while I'm talking, I could do a tech thing and get it to work. So I go into the device, not the device manager, the task manager, and stop the task, and then I reopen it. So it takes me a little bit of time to do it. But hey, look, I want to hear from you, so give me a call, and we can talk, all right? Really simple, good stuff, and I want to hear from you. All right. If you're a first-time listener, my name is Matt Slick, his real name, and I'm a Christian apologist, which means I defend the Christian faith. So if you have a question on Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, Eastern Orthodoxy, let's see, Christian theology, atheism, UFOs, the occult, logic, philosophy, we can talk. If you want to talk about stuff like that, you have questions, comments, you want to challenge the Christian faith, that's something I really enjoy trying to answer and deal with. Let's see, on Wednesday night, I had a long discussion, we did it on Clubhouse, and a long discussion on annihilationism with a gentleman, and I really enjoyed that time. He was a good guy. Now, I disagree with annihilationism. I believe it's a false teaching. I don't believe that all annihilationists aren't Christians. I just think they're in error. So, you know, that's another issue we could talk about. Along with Molinism is an error. Open theism is a really big error. There's a lot of errors that creep around in the Christian church that a lot of people are just not aware of that are there. And it's pretty serious. You know, I wish that what would happen is that the Christians would simply believe what the Word of God says and not try and make it into what they want it to be. I don't like it when they do that. I want them to believe the truth, believe the Word of God. And that's what I try and do, is get people to believe that Word and promote that Word. By the way, if... Oh, man, my Outlook is not loading. What is going on? That's odd. That's where all my email and stuff is, and hate mail and things like that, which I love doing hate mail and wacko mail on Fridays. So I'll get that going here in a second. I'll go in a different way. But we also have on Rumble, we have a way of chatting. You know, so if you want to join us and you want to participate, you want to watch me on the air, whatever, you can do that by going to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live, and then /live again if you want. But just Matt Slick Live, and it'll give you a list of the radio shows that we've done. And we're moving more and more towards Rumble. And the reason is because YouTube is big and as successful as it is, and it's pretty good in a lot of ways, but there's a lot of liberals who are running it. And so when I say things about COVID, I'm not allowed to talk about COVID. If I have an opinion about COVID, I'm not allowed to say things like that because, oh, they'll penalize me. So there are certain things that are politically correct that you have to say. Maybe I should not say things like, I believe the Biden crime family is destroying our country. Hey, maybe I shouldn't say things like, opening our borders the way they are is a treasonous act. And it's inviting the antagonists and invaders into our own land. How about that? Or how about the debt ceiling, which is going up and up and up, and how all they want to do is just spend more money for more power. You know, all this stuff, I think that it's really bad. And the promotion of LGBTQ and that mob and all that goes with it, all the idiocy that's there. Our country is in bad shape, and that's what I believe. So, you know, come Lord Jesus. It's all I can say is may the Lord Jesus come and retrieve his people. But if he doesn't, in the meantime, we are to occupy. We are to do as much as we can for the glory of God, for his glory. All right, my outlook is up, so it just took a while to get going. No big deal. All right, so if you want, you give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, let me see if I can, I think I'm going to try and get some hate mail here, because that's what we do on Fridays. Fridays are often slow. And so what I want to do is go into reading some of the hate mails that I've gotten over the years. And here's a problem that reminds me. I'm really not getting any new hate mail. I mean, you see, when your enemies don't hate you, they like you, that's a problem. Maybe, you know, they know that I'll use their hate mail. I don't know. Maybe they know that their logic isn't very good. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But they don't like, I don't get much anymore. And it's kind of depressing. You know, I like hate mail. I do. So if you don't like me, and you think I'm full of it, you can email me at info@carm.org, and you can tell me why I am completely wrong, why I don't know what I'm doing, you know, that I'm a heretic, whatever it is. I'll read it over the air. It's not a problem. I don't have any problem with that at all. All right, let's get some hate mail. I'm going to try this. Okay, here we go. Here's one. I feel much hate from your website. Now, okay, how do you feel hate from a website? What he's going to want to say is, I feel that you who are writing these articles are full of hate. Websites don't hate. Okay, anyway. I can sense that you feel you are a very learned person with your Bachelor of Liberal Arts degree. So look at this. Person says, I can feel that you are very learned. You feel that? Is that what you're doing? You feel much hate, and you feel that I think I'm very learned because of a Bachelor of Arts degree. Well, that's not what I believe. I don't think I have a lot of learning because of that. I study in spite of that, and I have a master's degree too, but it doesn't mean that I'm right about everything. Anyway, you have created a church of man because of the pride in yourself. Wow. How about that? You know, this was interesting. I like it when people do this kind of thing because they don't see the hypocrisy and the idiocy of their own position. They feel much hate from a website. That's interesting. They feel that I'm a proud person, and that the reason I've done stuff is I've created a church because of my pride. So this person is called projection. They have full of hatred themselves, and then they assign wickedness to me and say, this is what you're guilty of. This is idiocy. Anyway, this person goes on, to know the truth, one must be humble first. Oh, I guess you are. I guess you're humble, right? What makes you think that your interpretation of the Bible, interpretations of the Bible are more correct than someone else's? Well, sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. That's a worth of discussion. Let's see. Because you have a degree? It's a question mark. Oh, man. The Bible is a collection of many books of which there exists many contradictions. Really? Oh, I've written a whole section on Karm dealing with hundreds of alleged Bible contradictions to show that they're not there. Anyway, this person goes on. How do you determine which views to accept as the truth? Well, certainly not yours, because you're basing truth on feelings. You know, it reminds me when I was, when our kids were in the house, you know, and you know, they're young, we would watch SpongeBob. And we would have SpongeBob Saturdays. And we would get breakfast, and we'd watch, we'd eat in front of the TV watching SpongeBob. We'd watch SpongeBob for an hour. And I would ask my kids, you know, wait a minute, how come fire is under the water? And they would explain it to me. And I would really enjoy their explanations because they understood it was all cartoonish, but they would come up and they would give me these wild explanations about stuff. And then they would say, come on, Dad, you know this. It was a lot of fun. We had these things. And one of the things I learned was when SpongeBob would say, you have to trust in your imagination. And I always loved that. We just use imagination. So all that to say, this guy is using his imagination, okay? So that's why I'm saying it like that. All right, he says, maybe you should ask God in humbleness instead of relying on your own limited mind, which you're so proud of. Well, this guy, I would say, hey, how come there's fire underwater, and see what he says? Maybe he'd go, well, that's because, and then he'd give me an explanation, but I don't know. Oh, imagination. I always loved that when we watched SpongeBob. It was pretty fun. We would do that, and we'd watch SpongeBob. And the kids grew, and they got more intelligent, and they knew my questions were serious questions, but they were meant not to be serious, you know, kind of. And then they would do the kid explanation to Dad, and it was a lot of fun. And I would say, wait a minute, that can't work. Oh, yes, it does, Dad. So we had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Okay, here's another one. Here's another one. Most of your arguments here are fault and full of incoherent reasoning. Of course, someone, one such as yourself that proclaims to be Christian but obviously can't stand other Christians, is a man that is pretty, is that a small, pretty soul, low self-esteemed, with a pathetic existence whose only relief is to bring down others. That was one sentence. Okay, now notice what's here. Notice what the other, this is, you know, oh, by the way, I have to give a disclaimer. Do not try this at home on your own. I'm a professional. You try and analyze hate mail like this, it could be detrimental. Okay, he goes on, most of your arguments here are fault and full of incoherent reasoning. Now, this is coming from a guy or girl, whoever, who makes a stunningly bad run-on sentence. So I'm going to read the whole thing again. Now remember, I'm the one who has incoherent reasoning, and most of my arguments here are fault. Not faulty, but fault. And he says, most of your arguments here are fault and full of incoherent reasoning. Of course, someone, one such as yourself that proclaims to be Christian but obviously can't stand other Christians, is a man that is small, petty, low self-esteemed, with a pathetic existence whose only relief is to try to bring down others. That's a sentence. Now, you see, there are better ways to write insults like this. And if you're going to take something like this, look, if you can write me an insult, write me an insult, you know, and make it good. But use proper grammar. Go to grammarly.com and, you know, and use it and get your grammar and then email it to me. Because sometimes the insult is just lost in the bad grammar and punctuation. And so, you know, it just doesn't go as far. But hey, there's the music. If you want to give me a call, four open lines, 877-207-2276. I'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Three open lines. Give me a call. Let's get to Anonymous from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, good evening. I've called back. I spoke to you a couple times, and I pray you're doing well. And I want to thank you again. I need to pose this as a question. I call it into where I didn't think I was living under a rock, quite the opposite, but I didn't realize until, I mean, it was like in shock when I saw the Danny DeVito Little Demon or Little Devil or whatever cartoon, Disney, learned of that a couple of days ago. And I mean, I'm not surprised, but I was just like, you know, just...
I haven't heard of it.
I guess I'll ask you this. What do you think about that?
I haven't heard of it. It's just first I've heard what you just mentioned.
Oh, you haven't?
So,
for real?
I don't know. I don't watch Disney crap. Disney's, you know, they've
no, gone, I don't either. I don't either. What I was saying is, it's like a Jack Hibbs or one of those Christian station, and or online, and it mm-hmm. showed it was talking about that. It's it was chilling. And I thought I was sad that I had not lived.
Well, I'm going to check it out, you know, but I don't know. So if you have any information, you can email it to me or anybody out there who knows about it, where to find it. Just go, you know, email me, info@karm.org. I'll check it out.
Info at what now? I'm sorry.
info@karm, C-A-R-M .org. That's my website.
Right. Okay, I will do that. Okay, God bless you.
Okay, I'm really curious. So Danny, you sure it's Danny DeVito?
Oh, yeah, you got it. Huh?
That's who it is.
Oh, yeah, Danny DeVito and his daughter.
And there's a cartoon?
Danny DeVito
what
plays... Yeah, Danny DeVito
Danny
plays
DeVito's
the...
Danny DeVito's place?
Danny DeVito plays Satan. And laughing about how, you know,
Danny
describing
DeLito.
How him and his mom got... Yeah, Danny DeVito in Taxi and...
Okay, I tell you what, you email Danny DeVito as Satan,
okay,
Little Demon
okay.
on FFX. Okay, found it. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's stand firm. Ephesians 6, 10 through is all that's going on right now. It's
wow.
Anyway, we're fine. Wow. We can stand strong. Christ.
Oh, yeah, I stand strong against all this stuff. I'm determined, motivated, and capable. And so, by God's grace, I want to use all of that for His glory. So that's it, you know, and lean forward into the storm. Okay?
Yep.
That's what I do.
All right, bro.
That's all right.
Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay.
Wow. Thank you.
Interesting. You're welcome. Wow. Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. Let's get to Crystal from Utah. Crystal, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. This is Crystal, obviously. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had kind of a quick question for you.
Okay.
I heard you just now talking about UFOs or something, and I was wondering if what scriptures you have to support that. I've always wondered if that they were true or not.
Well... True deals with validity of statements. So you mean are they extant? Do they have existence? So the issue here is yes, they exist. Now, how they exist, that's an issue. I've been studying UFO stuff off and on for maybe 30 years. And I've read a lot of material. I've listened to hundreds and hundreds of hours of tapes from people who believe in the UFOs. Abductees. I've watched videos on TV, read books, and so you know I'm not uneducated about them, but I've got a lot more to learn, and the corpus of information is just increasing all the time. All right, so before I get into it, I just want to say that mathematically, no life can form by chance any place in the universe. It's just not possible, and I can go through that math with people as I show it to them. And I know what the Drake equation, for anybody who's listening, it's ridiculous. The Drake equation is laughable. I'm surprised it's put forward on TV. But the mathematics does not allow abiogenesis. It's too impossible. So the issue is, what are these things? They leave physical prints, physical effects. People are physically affected. There are physical manifestations in the air. People have touched objects. They have seen them on radar, taken photos of them. They have a physical aspect of them. So there's two possibilities. One is that they are demonically manifested, or that they are Nephilim descendant actualities. Now, those are the two main theories that run within the Christian worldview, from what I understand. So the first one is the idea that these demonic forces are there manifesting certain things at certain times so that they can be detected in the physical form. Another theory is that the Nephilim, which are the offspring between the fallen angels and women, which is why the flood occurred, that's a whole other story, that the breeding program continued after the flood, because there are Nephilim after the flood, and some think that the aliens might be the continuation of that, and that the breeding program had gone on, and so they are bred to be smaller, and they're very intelligent, and have been around for hundreds of years, and work technology, and have actual aircraft, UFO craft. So these are the two theories that I'm aware of. So one of them would say spiritual manifestation. Another one is a physical manifestation. This first one is temporary manifestations, and the second one is a permanent manifestation. So those are the theories.
Right.
Okay. So we could discuss those theories and the strengths and weaknesses of both. And I lean, actually I kind of have one foot in both camps. I believe that the Nephilim theory is very possible, and I also believe... Uh-huh. That the spiritual manifestation one is very possible. I don't negate either one, of course. So there's that. What a lot of people don't know is that Christians typically, the Christians are not, they're never abducted. Only one Christian woman that I've heard of has been abducted, and she had to give permission. And so they can't do that without permission, but Christians just don't get abducted. And the aliens, apparently, teach theology. The theology is that Jesus is not God, reincarnation's true, we are all divine. And so why would they teach theology?
Wow.
Not every encounter results in that, but it's common across that when theology is discussed, that's what's taught. Furthermore, even when unbelievers, there's many reports of unbelievers in an abduction situation, they cry out to Jesus, the abduction ends. So there's a lot of this kind of stuff that's like that. Then we have actual, apparently there's actual implants of objects into people's skin. Now what's that going on with that? And there's one of the biggest UFO events that occurred wasn't Roswell, but it was in England in the 1980s, early 80s. And that one is highly significant because a UFO craft materialized, but came in on radar, and then the guys went outside and watched, and it was just a couple hundred feet over their head, and this huge thing, and it was over an American military base in England. And then there was an object out in the forest, people went out and touched it, and it left imprints, there's stuff, okay? Now, there's some just preliminary information, we got a break, so hold on. And we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. Three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have two open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back on with Crystal from Utah. Crystal, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Okay. So I gave you a lot of info. So what do you think? You want to keep going, or what do you think?
I was just wondering if there's scriptures to support any of that.
Yes. Yes, there is. That could be used to support. That could be used. Okay, let's just say that. Not that it is proof. So if you go to Genesis chapter 6, talks about the Nephilim, all right? And that's where you want to go to, the Nephilim, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. The Jews always taught that this was fallen angels with women. And the Christian church always taught the same thing until the 1500s when it became ridiculed. And then so they came up with what's called the Sethite theory. And I don't buy the Sethite theory. One of the reasons that I hold to the Nephilim issue is because of verse 9 in Genesis 6. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generations. That's what the literal Hebrew says. In his generations. So the idea of his blameness or his purity is perfect. His generations have integrity. There's perfection. And it looks like in his line, his lineage, and it's perfect in his generation. So that's what's going on. So why is that there? Well, if it's the case that the Nephilim are the half-breeds, then that would make sense. And it would also make sense that that's why the flood came, to destroy them. Some people think that the disembodied spirits who died at that point are now demons, because demons typically want to inhabit human bodies, and they will also want to inhabit animals if they can't do humans. So some just theorize that maybe that's what they are, that there's fallen angels and demons. So the fallen angels, it looks like, you know, one of the theories is they had relations with women, half-breeds, and the flood wiped them out, and then they became the disembodied spirits of those half-breeds became demons. All right, so that's one of the theories. So Genesis 6. But what's also interesting is you go to Daniel 2:43. In Daniel 2:43, it says something very interesting, and it's the context is Nebuchadnezzar's statue, his vision, his dream. He has a statue that he sees. It's gold and silver and bronze. Now the feet is clay mixed with iron, and most theologians, and I agree, most theologians believe this is, and it, because you read it, it's what it is. It's talking about kingdoms and different periods of time reigning on the earth. The final time, it was with the iron mixed with common clay. Most people that I've heard about say this is the Roman Empire, and some say it's going to be the rebuilt Roman Empire out of Europe, where the Antichrist is going to arise. Now, there's lots of stuff to talk about in here, but nevertheless, having said all that, considering that this is dealing with the end times, verse 43 says this, "And in that you saw the iron mixed with common clay, they will combine with one another in the seed of men. But they will not adhere to one another."
Wow.
So what's this mean? They will combine with one another in the seed of men. And what I've heard about this is that the Hebrew construction is that the they is different than people, because they will divide in the seed of men. But that doesn't make sense. What's going on? And so a lot of, or it says, another way of saying it is they will combine with one another with the seed of men. So it looks like maybe this is support for the continuance of the Nephilim, possibly. And then, when you go to Matthew 24:37, it says this, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, till the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not understand till the flood came and took them all away. Now the ones who are taken are the wicked, not the good. Two men in the field, one is taken, one is left." It's the wicked who are taken. And you can prove that by going into Luke 17, where it says the same thing. It says, and they did not understand till the flood came and destroyed them all. So that's the parallel. So the ones who are taken are the wicked. Now, if it's the same as it was in the days of Noah, then if it's the Nephilim, then it'll be the Nephilim time of Christ. And if Genesis or Daniel 2:43 is talking about something interbreeding in humanity, then we could have some verses that could be used to support this. Okay. That's one of the theories. I'm just giving you some information. I'm not saying it's all correct and all true, but this is some of the stuff that we're looking at, and people are looking at like this. Okay.
Okay. I was just curious about your opinion. I always just tell people I never believed in it, but I didn't know how to explain why.
They're real.
No, I get it.
They're real.
Okay.
You can go to you can go to Christian sources and Christian bookstores and things like this online, and you can look up UFOs. And more information is being released about it. You can go to khouse.org, the letter K, house.org, and you can look up stuff on UFOs, and there's a bibliography, and it'll have more stuff, and there's other people who've written stuff. I had a private conversation with a Christian ufologist years ago, and we got talking, and he says, you know, he knew who I was, and says, you know, what do I think of this? Because he told me he's a ufologist. And I said, well, what do you think? He said, I want to hear what you say first. So I gave him my theory, and he said, wow, very good. He said, that's, and there's a group of them. He says that they study all this stuff. And he says, that's what they think, too. That the theory about the Nephilim interbreeding still is the one theory that answers most of the questions and is supported by most of the biblical evidence. We're not saying it's correct. We're just saying it answers most of those issues than the other theories do. That's all. Okay?
Right. And then you said something about at the beginning that the aliens couldn't be something. And what was that? How you described that?
Life can't form by chance any place in the universe. It's just mathematically impossible.
Okay.
All right?
That's what
and I've gone into this with people before. But I'll hang it from you, then I'll explain it in 1 minute or less, and then we'll move on, okay? Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Crystal. Well, God bless. All right.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh,
have a great weekend.
No problem at all. You too. God bless. Okay. All right. So without getting too much into this, exponential notation means like 10 to the second, 10 to the fifth. No, 10 to the fifth would be 10 times 10, 5 times. 10 to the 20th is 10 times 10 times 10, 20 times. And if I can give all these numbers and stuff, like I'll just give the shorthand version. There's a number called the universal probability bound. It's the maximum number of theoretical events that could occur in the entire universe if all of the particles in the universe were changing their state at the maximum rate possible for 18 billion years, and it's 10 to the 138th power. Well, when you do the mathematics on DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, and the nucleotide bond pairs that are there, and how each bond pair location mathematically is equivalent to 0.25 or 1 in 4, because you have AT and TA and GC and CG. And I know I'm going quickly. And so just by mathematics, when you put these things in order and you do permutability with the sequence, you come up with a certain value. Well, the issue is randomness could produce any value like that. But what's necessary is that RNA has to come in and read, and you have to have TLRs, you have to have all kinds of stuff in the genome to work in. The mathematics involved gets so complicated that the odds are like 10 to the 50,000th power. It's just insanely impossible. So there are books written, and there's articles written titled in the main title idea of the mathematical challenges to the Neo-Darwinian theory of evolution and stuff like that. So here's a thing to think about. Math relates to reality. Now, I used to use trigonometry in one of my jobs, algebra and trigonometry, a lot. And I could go out to a place in a factory. I wanted to have a height of something and an angle and all this stuff, and I would use trig. And trig's not hard. People think it's hard. It's not. It's easy. I once taught a guy how to do trigonometry in 20 minutes, and he had only had basic math. And he goes, "I can't believe how easy it is." I go, "Yeah, it is." Well, anyway, so math works. Why? Why does math relate to reality? See, if something mathematically can't work in reality, then it's not going to work in reality. That's why E equals MC² works, because the math works as it relates to actuality. Well, here's the thing. Why does math relate to actuality? And if math says something's impossible in actuality, then it is. Oh, it's a really interesting topic. It's an interesting topic of why the universal abstract principles of the laws of logic based, or the mathematics based on the laws of logic and their interrelationship, why do they relate to and properly describe a physical world? If people say they're derivative of it, then that means they're properties of, but that's not the case. I can get into all kinds of stuff. I discuss this stuff. I love this stuff. You actually think about these things when I'm driving, you know. Most people think of sports team. Yeah, hey, that's, I got the statistics. No, not me. I think like this. I know, I got issues. Hey, there's a break coming up. We'll be right back after these messages, so please stay tuned. Right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the air with Rick from High Point, North Carolina. Welcome, Rick, you're on the air. You there? Rick? Rick, I'm waiting for you. I'm going to give you a few seconds, and I'll put you on hold to go to the next caller. All right. Okay, we'll just go to the next caller. Let's see. Carl from New York. Carl, welcome. You're on the air. Uh-oh. Hope we're not having another issue with the phones. Every now and then that happens. So that does happen every now and then. So that's okay. So tell you what, if you are in the chat room, either in Rumble and or you are in Club Deck or Clubhouse, and you want to give me a comment or a question in either one, I can address it. Otherwise, I can go to the email and I can do that. Let's see if they're going to work on the connection. Sometimes they get a little connection issue and it doesn't work right. Let's see if we can try Rick again. Are you there, Rick? Hey, Rick, you there? Something's up. Okay. Now I'm not even sure if I'm being heard on the air. So, let's see. Am I live? We got to ask. Because sometimes you have a connection problem. And I'm just checking some stuff. It looks like we're okay, but I don't know. So if you guys can tell me if we're on the air, I'd like to know that. All right. Making sure there's not some problem someplace. Hey, we talked about UFOs. Look what happened in the occult. All right, so if you guys have questions or comments, you can do that in the chat, and I can try Rick again to see if he's there, give him a shot. Rick, are you there? Nope. Okay, let's not try that. Let's try this. Chris from Atlanta. Chris, are you there? Okay, we're having a problem,
sir.
Obviously.
There you go. If you could comment on... Hello, Mr. Frick. I was wondering if you'd comment on the connection between demonic possession and alien abduction.
There is a connection. One of the things I used to do before I was a Christian was contact the spiritual side of things. And I would do seances, try astral projection, necromancy, and various things. So I'm familiar with the techniques. All right. Let me hang up there. And if you want to call back, folks, please do. And so, so I know the techniques that are needed in order to get involved with this and summon things. All right. So I was watching a while back different documentaries, and a particular individual said that he was able to contact past relatives, and that he would go into a room. And he would get quiet, let his mind empty, and he would do various things. And I remember thinking, well, that's what you do in the occult, to contact demonic forces. And there's more to it, but this is the basics, is what he would say he would do. And I was like, yeah, that's what you do. All right, why am I bringing that up? Because I watched a video done by a UFO guy, and he's got this slightly balding head. He's like 50-ish, I don't know, I forgot his name. And he says that what they do to contact the UFOs is go out into the desert at night and or during the day, I think he said also, and a group of them will empty their minds and they will wait and they'll send out their thoughts. And after a while, manifestations occur. So all three of those examples I gave you are occult door openers. They're means to open the doors to the occult, to demonic possession, oppression, works, and stuff like that. And so they're similar. So what about the UFOs? If it's the case that the UFOs are demonically inspired, then the demonic connection that people might be looking for that could open them up to demonic oppression and even possession that are different. Yeah, a Christian can be demonically oppressed, but not possessed, because Christians can't be possessed. And an unbeliever can be possessed or you can be oppressed. And so there's differentiation. We can get into those sometimes. Maybe I should do a whole section on spiritual warfare and start discussing this. I got so much to study. So the thing is that, yeah, there is a connection between the UFOs and demonic stuff, because the UFOs teach demonic theology. The UFOs deny Christ. They deny they deny the deity of Christ. They preach. I've just thought of something else. They preach reincarnation and universal divinity. But what was I going to think? I was thinking here. Oh man, I hate it when I do that. Oh yeah, I remember now. One of the things that that UFO abductees commonly will say is that, and I'm going to be careful because there's kids in the car. I'm going to talk about sexuality here a little bit, but I'm going to talk about it in a roundabout way. Because I know people are driving home and you know, kids might be around, so I'm always reticent to talk too directly about stuff like that. But let's just say that what happens is, in a lot of cases, that the abductees are assaulted that way. And in those areas, and that it is quite painful and very terrifying. So their experiences are that these creatures, these things, inflict a great amount of pain. Now, there's a movie you could watch that depicts a lot of this, not in a too grotesque way, but it's called Fire in the Sky. And it's about a guy who was abducted, and he was working out in the forest with some other guys and got abducted, and I think 4 days later they found him. And he was absolutely terrified, and he was emotionally traumatized. And so, I'm not saying it's all fact, but there's a lot of evidence, there's a lot of interviews, a lot of stuff. Some say he was faking. He swears up and down he wasn't. His friends said, no, we saw him go up in the air, we saw this, we saw that. You know, so you can do what you want with it. But they made a movie out of it called Fire in the Sky, and you could watch it. But he recounts what happened inside the alien craft, and it is not pleasant. So you could watch it, and it's Hollywood making it visible, so you can see at least that part. All right, Fire in the Sky. Now maybe I'll watch it again. I haven't seen it for a few years. Maybe I'll watch it again. So the reason I'm bringing all this up is because the association with the UFOs deals with pain, suffering, sexuality, mutilations, trauma, emotional trauma, physical trauma often. Oftentimes not, okay? Oftentimes people just come back and everything's fine. So I'm just saying that, you know, there's variations, and we can talk about why those variations occur. That's another discussion. But the issue of theology being taught by the UFOs, denying Christ specifically, and reincarnation, and we're all divine. So these are some of the things that I'm aware of, and some other stuff that I just don't talk about too much on the air, because they're like more anecdotal. But one of the things I've done over the years, you know, I might drive to Utah. It's a five-hour trip. Or I might go down to California. It's, you know, 17-hour drive or whatever it is. What I'll do is I'll load up my my phone with MP3s, you know, podcasts on UFOs. And I'll just listen. And all the way down, you know, and all the way back up, I'll listen. I'll listen to a lot of stuff. And so I've done that many times over the years. And I've heard some of the stories. And I've heard stories of women who say they can contact aliens anytime they want. And when they talk about what they do, it's New Age occultism. I've talked or heard about guys who have seen craft, and they're highly intelligent. And you can tell by their conversation, they're very intelligent, they're very educated, and the things that they describe. Something's going on, right? There's even word out about how to create an energy field using photons and metal plates that are only angstroms apart. And there's some other technology that goes along, but you do something with this connection, and all you need is three of these. I've had listened to tapes on this and how they discuss things. And then there's other, there's all kinds of stuff. Some of it I go, yeah, right, whatever. But I enjoy that kind of stuff, you know. So there's been many accounts of people encountering these things, these creatures, in military bases and in other places. And commonly, there is a huge stench that is associated with them, just a vile stench. And the reason I bring that up, too, is there's so many things in my head here. I'm 66, but I've been a reader my whole life. I started early reading and would read a lot of stuff. And I've read hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books over the years and written 5,000 articles and you know, on CARM. And so there's this book I haven't read for 15 years. I read it about once every 10 years, okay? And it's called Stranger Than Science. And it's just short stories of all kinds of things. It's a great book about a dolphin leading a ship, leading ships through rivers, about footprints coming out of the ocean over an island in the snow and coming going back into the ocean on the other side. Just odds and ends. I like stuff like that. One of the stories in that book, Stranger Than Science, okay, was an account of, I think it was 100 years ago or so, there was an account of a craft that came out of the skies and landed on the ground, and people went and saw this thing, and it was a reddish creature, and they said it was a humongous stench. It was just a profoundly stench smell that was with it. And, they just left. I mean, all these things, you hear this, you read this, all these connections, you know. And let's see, one last story, because what got me started studying this stuff back in the day was when I read an article. And I always liked science, okay? I wanted to be a marine biologist, and I like astronomy, and I watch astronomy stuff. I enjoy that stuff. And so UFOs, oh, I'm going to read about this, right? And there was a secular psychologist who said he had done a lot of research on UFO abductees, and he was doing research on commonalities to see if there's anything going on. You know, this is happening all over the world, people say, and they have similar stories. So he decided to do some research. And this is what blew me away, because I became a Christian when I was 17, so it's almost 50 years I've been a Christian. And so I read this like 30 years ago, 35, 40, I don't even know. It's been so long, I can't remember. And so he did these hypnotherapy things with these guys, and he found commonalities. And then he found another commonality where they were taught theology, that Jesus is not God, that we're all divine and reincarnation's true. So he said he was not a Christian, and he went, thanks Mr. Kitt for the $5 rant, appreciate it. So he went to the Bible to read about Jesus, only because they brought this stuff up. And then he made a comment at the end of the article, which says he needed to do more research, and the comment was that he didn't understand why the people under hypnosis, some of them acted like the demoniacs did in the Gospels, when he read a little bit about Jesus, what about this, about that, and they would get violent. He says, it doesn't make sense. I could do more research. What's going on here? And I remember reading that. And that's what started me studying this stuff. Like, whoa, something else is going on. So that was, I don't know. I can't even tell you what decade it was. I just read and study so much. Hey, I hope you enjoyed the show. There's the music. It's a nice Friday. And I hope you all have a great weekend. I get to work tomorrow. I get to be able to produce videos, write stuff, research. What a joy. And I take Sundays off. But may the Lord bless you, and I hope you go have a good Sunday and go to church, and that you enjoy your weekend. May the Lord bless you, and by His grace, back on Monday. Talk to you later.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.